Good morning. And I ask you guys to do some thinking this morning, I know, and consider it. I want to compile. That's not very good. Compile a relatively short list of needs that we have. So blurt them out, raise your hand to whatever you want.
Food, water.
Okay. Not just slow enough so I can write them down. Who?
Sunlight.
Yes, but no. If it was less than my needs, then yes, but yeah.
What about transportation?
Transportation? What? Oh, I thought you said Satan. Job. Yeah. Bible, yep. I'm going to stop you guys there because I have a few I wanted to write up there, too. So, I already got a few of these up there. What about autonomy, independence, or connection? Mutuality. Reciprocity, which means kind of give and take. Like if I'm expressing an emotion, usually the emotion is mirrored back to me. Acceptance. Validation, which means that what I'm feeling is okay, what I'm thinking is okay. So I'm going to circle a few of these, and I want to see if you guys can figure out why they're circled. Why would those be circled? Okay, internal.
I was going to say they're not things, they're ideas.
Okay, tangible. Lynette? Okay. Right. Internal, emotional is what I would say. They're emotional needs. So what happens when these needs are not fulfilled? What happens when these needs are not fulfilled consistently? Meaning I don't know when I'm going to get fed, when I'm going to get emotional support. It seems random. Unfortunately, this is a reality in many children's and adults' lives. I would even venture to say that it is a reality for every one of us. All of us have needs that are not met. All of us have needs that are not completely fulfilled, or that are fulfilled on an inconsistent basis. Now, as a child, if a need is constantly neglected, abused, or provided for inconsistently, then the child will develop what psychologists call a maladaptive schema. I prefer the term unhealthy expectations and self-image. What it boils down to is that because this child doesn't have their needs met, they develop a view of the world where they, one, expect people around them to not meet their needs, and two, because of that expectation, view themselves in a negative way. For example, if Fred's parents often ignored him when he came to them with emotional struggles, he could grow up believing that his emotional pain is not important to anybody else. So he would expect others to ignore him when he is expressing emotional struggles, and he would view himself as not worthy of their consideration. However, humans are more complex than that. Do you really think that Fred is going to go on his entire life without that need filled? Just going to be content just sitting there, oh, no one cares about me or my emotional pain? No. What happens is that Fred finds a substitute. A behavior, a drug, a person, a group, something that allows Fred to feel like his need is being fulfilled. And the catch is, it doesn't matter how temporary the fulfillment is, as long as the substitute is reliable. That's the thing, it's reliable. And this is one way that habits and addictions can form. I want to be clear, this concept does not explain everything we do. I don't pretend to think that we are simple enough to have all of our motivations and behaviors explained by a single concept or theory. I'm learning that my own story is more complex than that. What I do believe is that we all have needs that we are striving to meet. Not necessarily physical needs, but emotional needs, because those tend to be harder to fulfill. I also believe that this striving, this need to fill our needs, drives some of our bad and sinful behaviors. So let me give you an example. Let's say that I have a habit of lying and deceiving people when I do something wrong. I do this so that they won't find out that I did something wrong, because I'm afraid people think less of me and be disappointed in me if they found out that I did this bad thing. In other words, I'm afraid that my need for social acceptance and approval will not be met if they find out that I did something wrong. So I form a habit of lying to make sure that the need is going to continue to be fulfilled. However, this doesn't last because there's always one person who knows the truth. Me. Myself. I know I've lied, so I'm always in question of if people would actually accept and approve of the real me. So I lie because I want to ensure that the need is fulfilled. But because I lie, then I'm insecure about if the need is actually being fulfilled. This is where I'm reminded of why I love psychology. I love psychology because I get to learn more about God's most complex creation. And I get to see how how principles in God's word are even now being rediscovered. The fulfilling of needs and turning to sin to fulfill those needs, something that God talks about in his word. Let's turn to James 4, verses 1 through 3. James 4, 1 through 3. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. I didn't understand this passage in this way until I was married. So many times when Shelby and I do have conflicts, it seems to stem from each of us trying to communicate a need to each other. James isn't just talking about physical conflicts, not just talking about wars and battles. He's talking about relationships, conflicts in those, and internal conflicts. He says, do not conflicts come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? The conflicts that I have come from the conflicts within myself. James then tells us the truth about turning to sin for a substitute for our needs. You lust and do not have. You fight and covet and cannot obtain. It is temporary. I desire for something I believe will fulfill me, but I do not possess it. It's almost like we are stealing small bits to satisfy the need for the moment. If I'm lying to make sure that I get or that I keep social acceptance, the social acceptance that I feel like I get is an illusion. It isn't real because it is something that I've taken and not earned. Therefore, I do not possess the acceptance. And I know this. We know this. That's why we keep on lying. That's why we keep on sinning. That's why I keep going back to other habitual sins, because I know that the need is not really being fulfilled. We danced all over this in class this morning. I kind of enjoyed listening to it. People are always striving to satisfy themselves. But in the end, once they get all that they wanted, they're not fulfilled. Because sin does not and cannot fulfill and satisfy the need. So James says we do this over and over, and the reason is that we ask and do not receive because we ask amiss. They may spend it on your own pleasures. So let's say for a moment that conflicts in relationships, all that we're really doing is asking for something to fill the need. And James is instructing us to ask ourselves, why are you asking for that need to be fulfilled? What are you going to do with that need? And tells us that we often do not get the need filled because we are wanting to fill it to please ourselves. We're using the need selfishly. We're asking other people, please, fill this need for me because I want to feel good about myself and feed my pride. So what is the correct reason to ask for our needs to be fulfilled? In Exodus 18, we find the story of Jethro visiting Moses. And Jethro finds Moses sitting before the people of Israel, listening to their needs, to their struggles, to their conflicts, and judging between them. When he sees this, his father-in-law says, what is this thing that you're, in verse 14, sorry. Jethro says, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit, and all the people stand before you, from morning until evening? And Moses said to Jethro, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulty to God. You shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all times, then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all those people will also go to their place in peace. Moses had a need that was not being fulfilled. He was being bombarded with other people's needs and concerns. And he was wearing himself out. He was getting stressed, he was getting overwhelmed, and he probably needed time to address his own emotional struggles and relax. So Jethro advised Moses to appoint other people to help him. He advised him to take time and fill his own needs. But what was the motivation? For Moses to be comfortable? For Moses to be satisfied because Moses is the most important? No, the goal was for Moses' needs to be fulfilled so that he could bring the difficulties to God and teach the people the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk. Moses had to fill his needs so that he could better serve others and better follow God. That is why we should be asking for our needs to be filled. That is what we should be striving for. The purpose of filling a car with fuel is not so the car can drive, is for the, wow, I'm going to re-say that because that did not come out right. The purpose of filling a car with fuel is so that the car can go from one place to another. That's the purpose. It does no good for the car to fuel the car and it for just sit. Likewise, our purpose is to glorify God and serve others. We can do that effectively when our needs are met. But if we just store up what we gain, then it isn't doing any good. 1 John 3, verse 17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? The purpose of being filled is to use that to fill others up. I am not the only one with needs. All these needs up here, they're not just my needs. Everyone else has the same needs, more or less. And what got me really excited about this lesson is that notice that God doesn't just say you shouldn't turn to sin to fill your needs. He says more than that. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 26. Christ says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Skipping down to verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? 1 Peter 5, verse 7. We're instructed to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. God goes even further and says, I will supply for your needs. This isn't just physical needs. I want to be very clear about that. We've talked a lot about, in our services recently, we've talked a lot about trusting that God will fill our physical needs and showing gratitude when he does. But that extends far beyond physical needs. We should also trust God to provide for our emotional needs. What better way to battle turning to sin as a substitute than realizing and accepting that God provides the real thing? The issue is that sin provides an immediate relief, an immediate fulfillment, and God's promise to fill us takes time. We talked about that briefly Wednesday night. Part of the appeal of sin is that it provides pleasure now. But we know that the pleasure and the fulfillment is not real and is temporary. So let's transition. So I said that God provides for emotional needs. So let's skim the surface of how it does so. Realistically, we could take a look at every one of these needs and fill a book's worth of material of how God supplies for it. I don't think I have the patience to let me do that right now, and I didn't prepare for that, so we're not doing that. But the most natural way that God has created to meet our emotional needs is relationships. Healthy relationships. If you recall back to Fred's example in the beginning, Fred developed issues with his emotional needs because his relationships early on were bad. They were not good. They were unhealthy. The very thing that has the ability to harm us also has the ability to help us. God has created us in a way that in order for our needs to be fulfilled, we have to be around other people. This is beautiful in a way to me. I continue to be amazed at how God created our minds and emotions, but this is an area that is more complex because God created us to need community. That is why he said it's not good that Adam was alone. I mean, I would be happy for a time just surrounded by nature and animals, especially if there's a mountain, some bears. I'd be pretty happy for a while. But my happiness would not last because animals and nature will never fill my emotional needs. So God created Eve because together they could help meet each other's needs. And relationships are not only between a husband and a wife. Friendships and family relationships also provide for emotional needs. The big ones that I think of being fulfilled by relationships is reciprocity. You can't get that from an animal. You laugh at an animal, it doesn't laugh back at you. Or maybe it does, it just doesn't show it. Validation. In order to feel like what I'm experiencing is okay and right and so forth, I need someone else to show me that. Mutuality. Having a mutual understanding, mutual knowledge, mutual experience, all those things. Acceptance and love. God also created the church to provide for emotional needs. Acts 2, verses 44 through 45. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided among all, as anyone had need. Romans 1, verses 11 through 12. Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you, by the mutual faith, both you and me. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13, when Paul's talking about how the Corinthians repented of their sin, says, therefore we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 John 3, 16 through 17. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Why do we value fellowship? Why do we seem to yearn at times for church meetings, for a big gathering? Why do we feel like something is missing if we have a span of time without seeing a certain brother or sister? It is because God created the church for us to need it. The church offers us the best emotional support that we can have here. It offers us the best emotional validation. It offers us the best comfort and refreshment. It offers us the best sense of community. It offers us the best unified goal and purpose. God commands us multiple times to provide for each other and to do good for each other. And do you think he's only talking about physical needs? No. What good does it do if your stomach is full, if you're warm and you're healthy, but you feel alone, unwanted, hopeless, and afraid? God is commanding us to be the church he established and create a system of meeting each other's emotional and physical needs. But these two methods of providing for our needs have one thing in common and have one problem: us. We mess it up over and over again. We hurt each other and we hurt ourselves. In the end, we are still left with the same problem we started with. We have these needs that are not being met. Even if we paired up everyone in this room and said, from now on, you have to provide for each other's needs. That's all you're doing. That's your job. Would you be able to do it? No. That's ridiculous. Even though God created relationships to meet our needs, he did not intend for them to be the only and true provider for our needs. That is a role he's left for himself. We started by listing needs that we have. That's what we started with. And I asked you what would happen if those needs are not fulfilled. Now I want you to think, who would you be if your needs were fulfilled? I'm not going to answer that for you. I also said that the reality is that we all have needs that are not met. What if I told you that that statement is not completely true? The true statement is, the reality is we all have needs that will be fulfilled. We all have needs that are not met yet. Because God has promised us something. God has promised us something better. And I, John, heard a loud voice from heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. God is the fulfillment of our needs. We always say that heaven is where we will find, or where we will be filled, or where we will have joy. What is heaven without God? God is where we are filled, no matter what the environment looks like. God created us with needs that only He can fill. He is the only one that can provide true security. He's the only one that can provide true support and comfort. He's the only one that can provide true acceptance and approval. He is the only one that can provide true love. And I find that very beautiful. And that is what keeps getting reiterated over and over again for me as I learn about people. Everyone has a hole, a need that only God can fill. Only God can fill. Thank you, God, that you are faithful. And you promised us that you will fulfill that need. You will make it so that we will use that need to glorify you and serve those around us. And God made it especially clear and easy to fill a very deep need that we have. A need for Him. And He did that by sacrificing Himself. And we all have the need of Him, and the need of salvation. If you want to take advantage of the gift He has given us to fill that need, please do so.